Our brother has asked us to read from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and then we will also read verses from Matthew chapter 21. We'll read verses 1 through 11. It's been a while since I heard that poem that was shared this morning about the comparison between Alexander and Jesus. And it brought back some memories of being at the Museum of the Bible there in Washington, D.C., and being in the little village of Nazareth that they have there. As I went through that village, the thought that struck me was, is there ever in history something like this? Where a man could come from a village where it's literally houses built into the side of rocks, caves. Really, Nazareth was largely built in the side of the hills there, and then they would build out from the caves would be maybe the back part of the house, and then the front part of their house had some wood structure and so forth. And so you understand, you get that visual of, can anything good come from Nazareth? You understand, even within a Jewish context, why that would be said. But yet God chose that place to bring the greatest prophet of all time. And his coming onto the world scene was prophesied like no other man in history. There are more prophecies about Jesus Christ than there are about any other man in history. And we remember Jesus because of his death and resurrection. There's no other man in history that celebrated more for his death than Jesus Christ. And the church has always, throughout the centuries, has had a special focus on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and giving time to reflect on that. And we see that here in some of the sermon topics for this week. A reflection on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Reading from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And then turning over to the fulfillment in Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 1 and reading through verse 11. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, there sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Let's pray.
Good morning and greetings in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a lovely name to the saints of God, and that's who I want to lift up this week. Our theme this week has to do with Jesus, the King of an everlasting kingdom, and that's who I want to greet you in. He is worthy all our glory and all our praise. Here we are at the beginning of a series of messages, and I'm sharing this because of the weakness of my own life, the weakness of my own heart. It It appears or it seems like a big mountain to have 10 messages in a row. So I just want to ask you as a congregation to not forget about me and pray for me. Because I'm here because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to grow in my walk. Sometimes when we have meetings, we have a tendency of looking at the evangelist that he has attained everything and he is here to help us. But I want you to know I need revival in my own heart. And as I preach these messages that God has laid on my heart to preach about, I want you to know that I'm committing this to you as a congregation, that I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to work in my own heart and life as well, because I have needs. I have areas that I need to grow in, even in my love relationship for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to learn to love him more. I want to also learn to love his kingdom more. I also want to learn to love his church more. And I just want to be a living example as I mingle with people and as people observe my life, that they see Christ. Yes, they might see John Michaels visually, but that it's something deeper than, oh, here is John Michael. But rather, here is the Lord Jesus Christ being lived out in the life of John Michael. And that should be the desire of everyone, every child of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ be formed in you. And when he's formed within you, it is expressed outwardly to others that they can see the love of the Lord Jesus Christ through your life by a living example. And we want to share that with you throughout this week. As Brother Ray had mentioned, I plan on giving a question to the children, and I realize that this is maybe something new for you as a congregation. I have done this at numerous churches, and it's not only the children that take an interest in it, I've also found out that the youth enjoy it, and also the adults. And because of the length of the auditorium here, I usually have it that the child would answer the question publicly or verbally, but because of the length of the building, and my ears are not the best like they were maybe even 10 years ago, I decided that we're going to have a basket in the side hallway here that you would drop. I want you children, this is for 12 years old and younger, I want you to write on a piece of paper the answer to the question along with the scripture reference and put it into that basket. And either I will collect it before the next service or I'll have someone bring them to me. And I'd like to encourage you children to participate. You will see as I go throughout the week that I love children. And Jesus also loved children. And I think every child of God that loves the Lord Jesus Christ will have a burden and have a passion in their heart for children as well. So children, any of you that are 12 years old and younger, you are invited to participate in this. To write on a piece of paper the answer and the scripture reference where you found it. So here's the question. Who had a stone for a pillow? Who had a stone for a pillow? As we go throughout the week, there's going to be some, and I'm not sure where you are on technology here as a congregation, but I had one meetings not too long ago where a young man came to me. He said, "We just go home and Google it." Well, I don't want you to just go home and Google it. I want you to look in the Bible and find the answer to the question. So you children, you go find the answer to that. And maybe you know the answer already and you thought, oh, that was an easy one. Well, I want you to know we got some hard ones coming up. So may this be a special time for you as children as well. I know sometimes when you think of a week of meetings, I remember as a little boy sitting through weeks of meetings and they seemed long. So maybe by asking some questions can put a spring in your step to also be involved in the worship service as well. Thank you, Brother Paul, for reading those verses. Our theme this week is Jesus, the King of an Everlasting Kingdom. So you will hear that theme being mentioned throughout the week. Jesus, the King of an everlasting kingdom. And I do have some theme verses that I like to start every message out with. It's not necessarily on your card, but turn in your Bibles or open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 10 and 11. And I'm sure when you got that card and you saw the word kingdom, and not only are we going to talk about the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're also going to talk about the church. And I realize that when we talk about the kingdom and the church and the present tense of it and the future tense of it as well, I'm sure many of you are going to be all ears to find out where this evangelist stands on prophecy and also on the future things. Well, I want to tell you at the beginning that I am not a booked person on eschatology where I have it all figured out exactly how end time things are all going to take place. Maybe you have figured it out, but this man, this brother has not. And I want you to know as I go throughout this week that if there's any time for correction or anything, I'm open to that. But I want to stress that there is a kingdom that is an everlasting kingdom. And it has a present tense and also has a future tense pertaining to that. And I'd like to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 10 and 11. I'm not going to take the time to talk about all the different virtues that is being mentioned here, that you're to add these virtues in your life. But I want you to know if your focus this morning as a Christian is to have these virtues in your life and that you're willing to grow, God will give you the entrance into this kingdom that we want to lift up this week. So begin reading in verse 10 of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The entrance into this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ brings you into a relationship of the kingdom as well as the church, as we will discuss in some future messages. But here, the virtues of temperance and patience and godliness, we are to, first of all, make sure that our calling and our election is sure, because if we do these things, these virtues, you shall never fall, which means that it will be a means of helping you to be victorious in your Christian living. And because you are now victorious in your Christian living, it brings you an entrance and you shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And throughout the week, I'm going to stress the importance of being part of the kingdom of God today and seeking first the kingdom of God. And then in the future, when we close our eyes in death or the return of Christ, we will be ushered into the final part of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to stress again the importance of the present, and we will see that in scriptures that we will look out that we will look at throughout the week that have to do in present tense form, and then we will also look at scriptures that will also point towards the future of this everlasting kingdom. So I'm sure there's interest in where we're all going to go each evening or each service for this, with this. But I felt led to talk about, today is considered Palm Sunday, and there's a lot of probably messages preached across pulpits today related to Palm Sunday. And as was read in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, there was an Old Testament prophecy that pointed towards the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. Now, the Jews were under Roman rule. An Old Testament illustration of what the condition was of the Jews would have to do when the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt. They were suppressed. They were controlled by Pharaoh and his Egypt, the Egyptians, and they were crying out for deliverance. The people of God were crying out for deliverance. And God heard that cry. And now we come into the time now when the people of God, or the Jews, were under the Roman rule. And again, they were crying out for deliverance from under this oppression of not being able to be their own nation or their own country. And God also heard this cry, but he answered it in a different way than what they were expecting. Many of them were expecting a nation again rising up to overtake the Roman rule. They were not expecting the king to come in the way that the Lord Jesus Christ came. And as they were looking for this deliverance, they were seeing it through physical eyes. And that is why many times when Jesus was teaching, they were often asking questions, when is this all going to happen? And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes of that time were trying to, they understood Old Testament prophecies, but they couldn't agree exactly how this Messiah is going to come. Some were saying, well, he's going to be from Nazareth. Others were saying, no, there's Bethlehem involved here. And another one would say, well, no, I'm going to call my son out of Egypt. And as they got all these different verses of prophecy pertaining to the birth of the Messiah or the establishment of this kingdom, there was difference of opinion of how this was all going to happen and take place. So here we have an Old Testament prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, that says, when you see this man coming on a colt or an ass, that he is going to be your king. An Old Testament prophecy that they could have all looked at, which would have helped them to understand that this is the Messiah. But in some ways, many of them rejected it because he came all wrong. He was born lowly, and he did not have the status or structure that they were expecting or that they wanted to be for a king. But in Matthew chapter 21, as was prophesied in Zechariah, that he is going to ride upon a colt that no one ever has ridden before. Now, I want you to put yourself, I know we're in 2018, and I want you to put yourself back into their time. And I want you to pretend that you had a colt that had a little one, an ass tied there, and a colt with her, and loose them and bring them unto me. Supposing you were the one that owned this ass, and that you had this colt, and you had your animals tied at maybe a hitching post, and here comes someone that says, and started unloosening them, and started going off with them, what would have you said? And they asked the question, well, you know, if you're asked why you're taking it, you're to answer them that the Lord hath need of these. And today, if somebody would come in and take off with your car or your pickup, you would say, now wait a moment, but if they would say the Lord hath need of them, what would you say then? Now, sometimes we can't quite wrap our mind around it, but there had to be somebody that was willing to give up these animals or this colt. And to see it go out the road or down the village drive or whatever, but there were some people that were losing their colt, in essence. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and as Jesus sat upon the colt, and as they came into Jerusalem, the people began crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. The word Hosanna means to save now. Again, remember, they were looking for a redeemer to come to take them out from under the leadership of the Roman rule. Now, he could have came riding upon a horse. A horse would have been a lot more of a prestige type of entry of him coming into Jerusalem. But a lowly colt or a donkey was considered low class. And yet, the Old Testament prophesied that that's how he is going to be coming in to Jerusalem. As he rode this colt into Jerusalem, they started putting their clothes, and they would often take their clothes and actually lay it on their clothing on the ground, or their garments, or their coats, their cloak, and they would lay it on the ground, and as the animal that whoever was returning, usually it was somebody that was returning from battle that was getting honor for what they had accomplished. It was a way of showing forth victory. And they would take off their coats or garments and lay them on the ground as the horse, or in this case with Jesus, was a donkey. And while that was happening, they were also taking branches, and if you look at John chapter 12, it actually calls them palm branches. That's why they would look at today in our evangelical world that today is as Palm Sunday. Now, the palms or palm tree, even branches today, would be considered, depending which country that you're traveling in, would be considered by giving someone a palm branch, would be giving them a token that it is a peace, that I have peace between you and I. So palm means peace, but not only does it mean peace, it also means victory. And so as Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, you see that he is riding on a donkey, which is humility, and then the palm branches showing forth peace and victory. And the people were crying or saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Behold, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest," which means save now. They were looking for salvation, but they were looking at it through the physical eyes of getting out from under the Roman rule and then establishing another nation which shall overtake all nations. They understood that. But Jesus, as he was coming and teaching, he was teaching that, yes, there is a kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. Not only a spiritual kingdom, but also will have some things yet in the future pertaining to that kingdom. That's why at times Jesus, in answering, would have it in a present tense form and also in a future tense. So this week, we want to talk about this kingdom. This kingdom is the beginning of Christ's preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The two key things that Jesus taught had to do with repentance and about this kingdom. And we will look more at that tonight as we talk about the King's kingdom. But here Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and the people are crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna," meaning save us, save us. And then we have the palm branches, which means peace and victory. In verse 10, it says, "And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this?" And I'd like to focus a little bit on the word city and the word moved. At first, when I would look at this verse, I would think that somehow the whole city was happy about what was happening. But that was not the case. Some were moved to indignation. Some were moved to rebuke. Some were moved. Some were not happy about what was taking place, because here was this man, Jesus, getting all this acknowledgement. And they did not look at him as a king. They did not look at him as returning from some victory, from a battle where he had been victorious. He was coming all wrong again in their thinking. So this could not be the Messiah. Now, these were human beings just like you and I today. And the thrust of the message this morning to speak to our hearts is if you were a part of this group of people, while this was taking place, where would have you been? Would you have been taking off your cloak or your garments and laying it down and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, recognizing Jesus for who he is? Maybe you, or would you have been one of those that would have went and took some branches, some palm branches, and laid them before the group of the donkey as he came through. What they would do is they would take their garments, lay them down, and their palm trees, and as Jesus would pass over the garments and the palm branches, they would pick up the ones behind and keep rotating them as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. Would you have been someone that would have been taking the palm branches and been all excited about what was all going on? Or would you have been like the Pharisees in John chapter 12? They told Jesus, rebuke your disciples for what they're doing. Rebuke them. We're just going to make this practical. If you were there, which group of people would have you been with or associated with? And you can answer that in light of where you are today with your relationship about this name Jesus. I'm going to share some personal things. There was a time in my life that I found it hard to say Jesus. I don't know where I got the impression, but I could say Lord, I could say God, but to say Jesus, I guess I thought that was maybe a liberal term, Jesus. And I don't know if it's because of the Jesus movement or whatever, but somewhere in my mind that was instilled as a young person or a child that it's more proper to say Lord Jesus not just Jesus. But as I have studied the name Jesus, it becomes more precious to me the more I study about this man called Jesus. Because it is a precious meaning of redemption for all mankind. Now, when someone talks about Jesus, and you're in the conversation, or you are in visiting with someone, or maybe you're at a business place, and here comes another brother, and he says, God bless you today in the name of Jesus. What is your reaction to that? Our tendency, human tendency, is we kind of step back, and we're not as excited about Jesus as what we should be excited about, because he is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. We have nothing to be ashamed of when the name of Jesus is being presented. And when the subject of the name Jesus comes up, do you find yourself wanting to participate in it so that you can get to know this Jesus more? Or do you find yourself stepping back and not wanting to be associated with, oh yes, you profess to be a Christian, you're a church member, you attend church every Sunday, every time there's prayer meeting, you're here, you're faithful to what the church is asking you to do, but do you really have a love relationship with this man called Jesus? Is he precious to you? Would you have been putting down your garments and loudly saying, Hosanna, Hosanna? Would you have been taking down the palm branches and laying them before this donkey and crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna? Or would you have been like the Pharisees, which were very religious? They were considered the elite, Some of these groups were considered the elite religious people of the day, and I could just picture them as they were seeing this procession coming into Jerusalem. In their heart, they were envious because they did not want people to follow this man called Jesus. And I can just picture them standing off to the side, maybe with their arms crossed, and watch this procession as it came down through into Jerusalem. I don't know what they did, but in their heart, they told Jesus, you rebuke your disciples. Jesus said, I can't, because if they don't cry out, the rocks are going to cry. The precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ is a wonderful name. May we be quick to share the name of Jesus with others. May we be quick to share others about Jesus. And one way to gauge how precious Jesus is to you is to look at your life, how much you love him. Not only love him, but also the kingdom that we're going to talk about, or the church. You sang in that song about having tears for the church. When was the last time you cried and had tears for the church? That gauges our love for the church. That gauges, and I'm not talking about some emotional experience that we drum up and try to produce and make us, you know, weep or whatever. I'm talking about a burden for the kingdom of God and his church, and being able to have tears and to spend time in prayer for the behalf of the people of God. That's what it means to love the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't even understand that you should be carrying a burden for the church, maybe you need to get a better relationship with this one called Jesus. The one that has given his life, as we go throughout this week, he gave his all so that you and I can have it all. He gave everything so that you and I can experience that peace and joy in our hearts, knowing that our sins are forgiven. And if you know what it is to be forgiven, you know what it is to be saved, you know what it is to be redeemed from a life of filth, a life of corruption, you're going to talk about him. You're going to not be bashful when it comes to this man called Jesus. You're going to tell people about him. You're going to have a burden when you drive through the streets of Hanover and you see the ungodliness and the young people of our society that are crying out for help. And here we are, we get a little uncertain and unsure because we become a little ashamed of Jesus. But I want this morning to lift up the name of Jesus and to let you know that if we are children of God, the name Jesus needs to be precious to our heart and to our soul. I see those rebelling young people in society and their tattoos and the nose rings and the tongue rings and everything, and my heart just goes out to them. When you see that, beloved ones, this morning, it is a cry for help. They're trying to find fulfillment in life when really they are... You have the message right in front of you. You have the gospel. You know what it is to be saved. And you have the answer to their problem. But many times we will just pass them by and go about our busy life because we got tractors to run and we got trucks to drive and we got cows to milk. We got wires to pull because we're electricians and we got produce. We got to make sure this happens and that happens. We don't have time. And yet at the same time, there's a precious soul behind that tattoo. There's a precious soul behind that earring. There's a precious soul behind the nose ring and the tongue ring and everything that goes along with it. They need to hear about this Jesus. You need to be willing to put out the palm branches. You need to be willing to put out your garments and to lift up the name of Jesus. He is worthy all our glory and all our praise. If you don't remember anything about this message this morning, I want you to remember this, that Jesus loves you. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know this Jesus. Maybe you're a very religious person. Maybe you're a person that it looks like on that you really have a walk with the Lord. And it's not only just young people. It can be us older ones as well. It can be grandpas, it can be grandmas, it can be all ages. Do you really love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart? And as we go throughout this week, I just want you to allow God to work in your heart and life and to allow this name that you're not ashamed of the name of Jesus. And that you're willing to go forth because the Lord Jesus Christ has no tongue but our tongue. He has no hands but our hands. He has no feet but our feet. But in order for us to carry out the Great Commission, in order for us to carry out and reach the needs of others, you need to be first partakers of that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Only then are you able to be willing to share about it. It's interesting. And we're not exempt from this in our congregation. And I don't know where all you are as a congregation, but there's many different things that people try to sell you. I could give names of different organizations that, you know, they want you, they're sold on their product. But are you just as sold on presenting the name of Jesus to others? We can talk Peterbilts, we can talk John Deere's, we can talk all kinds of talk, but what about our talk about the Lord Jesus Christ? That's from the men's side. I don't know what all ladies talk about. Maybe it's sewing, maybe it's another dress. Maybe you have 15 of them already in the closet. Maybe it doesn't stop there and you just wish for one more. You know, being unsatisfied in our heart with what we have, and we don't have contentment, and we try to find it in material things. I don't care if it's that dress or that farm or that truck or whatever. It's the same cry as the person that has the tattoo or the nose ring or the tongue crying out for help. And it's not only out in the world, it's in our churches. People cry out for help. One man told me recently, he said, when he has hurts to work through things, instead of addressing the hurt or the feelings and the emotions, he says, I just work harder. I just work harder. There's nothing wrong with work. The Bible teaches us to work. But it's deeper than that. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever you are with your walk with the Lord, if you have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, I want you to find him this week. If you are struggling and you know that God is asking more of you than what you have ever been willing to give him, I want you to allow him to work in your heart this week. God wants to place his finger, upon his people, because there is a work yet to be done, because he has not returned yet. And he's counting on his people to be those people. And those people need to present or have a relationship and be excited about Jesus. Not only Jesus, but about his kingdom, about his church, being willing to be part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you look through on that card that you have, I want you to see the progression as we go throughout this week, that his death on the cross and the resurrection is the key factor to why you and I can experience salvation through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it for you. Then why do I find it so hard to even talk about Jesus or to share the good news of salvation with others? I know I mentioned that I hope you find God or find Jesus this week. Maybe you want to find him this morning. Maybe you came here this morning and God has just touched your heart today. It's not, what you're going to get out of this week is not based upon the speaker. The churches that I've seen revival happen in are churches that are real about having revival, is when they are willing to pray for themselves and to see their own needs. I cannot bring revival to you. I can present to you the gospel. I can present to you the salvation message. But it's really up to you as a congregation how much you want to be revived this week. It's not based upon just the evangelist. The evangelist needs to do his part, needs to prepare, needs to pray and do that. But I tell different congregations, when God meets the needs of the hearts of congregation is really how desperate are you for revival? How desperate are you for a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? How determined are you to allow the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse your heart? God is speaking to you this morning and you need to get some things right with God. You have never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. This invitation is for you. Maybe you're a child of God and have been for quite some time, but you have allowed the embers or the fire to quit burning and now it's just a couple embers. Or maybe you are feeling like a smoking flax. I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to change that and to make you have a relationship with him. We're going to sing one verse of invitation. If God has spoken to you, you stand to your feet, and then we will meet with you later after the service. What shall we sing?
Stand together for prayer. Brother Jeff Burke will lead us in prayer.